Hello and welcome to the Factory Founder Podcast. My name is Adam Wayfield, Managing Editor at Founders Factory Africa. On today's episode, we're speaking to Koya Matsuno, co-founder and COO of Vunipay, who is sitting next to me in Cape Town as we take advantage of being in the same city at the same time. And we've got a great view behind us, Koya. How are you? How was your flight from Nairobi?
It was smooth, yeah. It was great. So I had a brief stop at Victoria Falls. I didn't get to see it, but...
so you knew it was there?
It was there.
It was in the vicinity?
Yeah.
Okay, so not too bad. Mm-hmm. On the Factory Founder Podcast, we don't stand in ceremony, so let's just get straight into today's topic,
and that's
Vunipay. So if I came up to you in an event and asked you, so I've been told you're the co-founder of Vunipay, what is Vunipay? What's your answer to that question?
Yeah, sure. The quick answer is basically, Vunipay offers instant payouts to smallholder farmers as they deliver their produce. So basically, we are tackling the problem of delayed payment when farmers deliver their produce. Yeah.
Short and sweet. Where did the idea come from for Vunipay?
Well, I met my co-founder Judy and Ian through this program called Antler. It's a venture building program based in Nairobi. They're all over the world. Basically, during that program, we went through probably 10s, 20s different ideas, basically, just trying to see what problem to solve, starting with that, and then also seeing if there's a viable solution to it. So we went through, I think it was an intense 3 or 4 months of just researching and testing, the validating the ideas. And then after millions of ideas, we landed with what we have with Vunipay right now.
I mean, you've really described the elevator pitch. If you can go into it a bit more, what's the broader problem you're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. Why does the problem matter? I guess especially for your end customer, if I can put it that way.
Yeah. So we interviewed hundreds of farmers, first of all, and key stakeholders in the industry just to understand what exactly is the problem. But on a higher level, basically farmers are still living with an income of $1 to $2 per day. Mm. Although they still contribute 30% of the GDP in Africa. So there's a paradox here. So we really wanted to break that down into smaller problems and see where it is that is causing this gap. And then what we landed is farmers, they're usually part of cooperatives. And when they harvest and deliver their produce, they usually need to wait 6 months or even longer. Mm. So because of that, they still need to live their daily lives, basically. So what they do to acquire the instant cash, they either sell it to their neighbors or they go for a high interest loan, which then really cuts down into their income. And then basically, that's what's going on the ground.
Yeah, and then when I hear a high interest loan, I immediately start thinking about vicious circle and always trying to maintain the debt or the payment that you do need to make. And the market itself, you said you interviewed loads of farmers. Mm-hmm. How many are we talking, from a national perspective, from if you speak of Kenya alone, how big is the market to use that word or your constituency that you're serving? That's probably a better way to describe it.
Yeah, so we usually work with agri cooperatives. Yeah. So I'll start from there. So there's around 54,000 agri cooperatives that are officially registered. So there's probably a lot more than this actual number. But each cooperative has around 500 to 10,000 farmers. Mm. And then we're basically targeting these farmers that are usually part of these farmer society. So the opportunity is massive. And it's a problem that we see not only in this continent, but also in Latin America, Southeast Asia. So it's a global problem when it comes to delayed payment.
And why are farmer cooperatives important? I think farmers, you hear farmer, they provide local produce and food for their local markets, nutrition. Mm-hmm. You could draw the line there, but what's their specific societal role that they form in Kenya itself? What don't we see as they all club together, but what part of the social fabric do they form? I guess why they're so important, leading to the question of why are you speaking to them, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, usually cooperatives are formed by the farmer and for the farmer. Mm. So usually one of the main benefit is farmers, usually, especially smallholder farmers, they don't have access to some of the processing tools, assets. And basically what cooperative does is that they bring together these producers from different farmers, so they process it together. Another benefit is access to farm inputs, different fertilizers, for example, which is subsidized usually through the cooperatives. So those are some of the benefits, and cooperatives are always looking to see what additional benefits they could provide to the farmers. And that's where we also come in, where we say to the cooperatives, if you partner with us, we can offer instant payouts to your members.
What's previously been the challenge of trying to reach these groups? Well, I guess what are the structural barriers that just make it hard for them to work with them?
Yeah, so we've tried different things as well. We're still, you know, iterating as we go. But one of the things that's been working very well when it comes to reaching the cooperatives and ultimately the farmer is to work with organizations that already has relationship with these cooperatives. A lot of the times it's really trust-based, and coming from, let's say, us Vunapay directly selling it to the farmer versus coming from the cooperative's chairman, it's really different. So we've been trying to partner with cooperatives directly, or even the local county government, for example, that already has these trusted relationships between the cooperatives and the farmers.
Yeah, so I mean, you understand very much who are the right individuals, the right organizations, or institutions to interact with. You can't just come in and fly out as a brand.
You have to,
I think, as you know, earn local trust.
Yeah,
there's also,
exactly,
it's a solution that maybe people don't see. They want to have that touch, a human look, if you want to say it that way.
Definitely.
A little bit more brass tacks about the startup. How do you acquire customers? You kind of touched on it.
But
if you had to really get into the nub of it, what's your approach to acquiring customers?
Well, first of all, we spent a lot of time really to understand what the problem is. And if the problem resonates with the customer, that's a really easy sales when it comes to, okay, well, we know that you have this problem and we have a solution to this. Usually, once they understand that, or once they resonate with or understand that we know that you have this challenge, it's quite easy from there. It's just more of, okay, then how do we implement this solution?
Okay.
So they become very proactive as we speak.
And I'm finding, I think of a Venn diagram. If you're one party on the other side and your customers are either meeting in the middle, their value share, that's what you're finding at the moment,
exactly,
with your core customer. And just take it more broadly, just for our founders that are listening, in terms of making the sale, I'll put it that way. What, in your experience, is the best way to approach a target customer? Or better yet, do you follow a set of rules to think about? Or do you think it's a bit more of a process that you follow versus a rules-based approach? I know they're sort of similar.
Yeah, well, we are quite early stage still. So we're still figuring out, instead of trying to set up a guideline in terms of this is how we're going to go to the customers. Because even we work usually with coffee, dairy, and tea value chains. And different value chains have different ways of operating as well. So we're also learning as we are talking to these customers. What ways can we explain it so that they understand easily?
And also, I think you've hinted there, being agile to learn. So you're not a coffee farmer. But you've got to be willing to be empathetic and put yourself in the shoes of a coffee farmer. So I'm an investor, I come up to you and say, then what's your moat? What excites you the most about Vunapay and its ability to assist farmers on the ground in Kenya?
Well, it's a bit cliche, but you know, I think the network and the partnership we have goes very long way. We are working with a telecom company based in Kenya as well when it comes to, because a lot of these cooperatives are lacking internet infrastructure, for example. So for our solution to work better, we also work with these partners that can enable us to provide additional service to these our clients. And also we are partnering up with a commercial bank as well to finance our advanced payments. So whenever there's a demand, we are able to fulfill it and you know, meet the demand as we grow. So when it comes to that, I think having also a local co-founder that has that local network goes very far.
The fact you've reached out for all these different partners, did that arise in the research process? We realized, there's the challenge that Vinipay is trying to solve in itself specifically, but you can't implement without, Did that come through just the research process and speaking to the customers?
Yeah, initially, the initial contact we had was during that research process when we were talking to different stakeholders.
Right.
And then, you know, when you are actually tackling a real challenge, you know, these people also resonate with what we're trying to do. And then the conversation kind of came naturally when it came to, okay, if you're doing this and if you're trying to solve this, let us be in that, join that bandwagon. Yeah.
And value add. You're not just solving a financial question, you're solving many other ones as well that, I mean, without internet, I don't know, without internet, I can't live. I know other people can without it, but it's access to many, many things. Just turning to yourself personally, you've walked quite an interesting journey. I mean, you're now in Cape Town, this is where we're chatting today.
Yeah.
You're based in Nairobi, but your life has in part been shaped by the time you spent in Nairobi. I think you mentioned off air that you've lived for about 2 years now, but you've also spent time in Tokyo, Los Angeles. Bristol's kind of a bit of an odd one out. Yeah. Sorry if you're from Bristol.
No, I think Bristol is in fact one of my favorite cities.
Really? Okay. Yeah. My cousin lived there for about 7 years. It apparently has some charm. I'll put it that way. You're also the founder, and forgive me if I mispronounce it, Pakuto?
Yeah.
All right, spot on. Which is focused on, and I quote here, providing investment opportunities that drive sustainable growth. And I think you mentioned Antler. You are a former entrepreneur in residence at Antler, which looks to be the role that brought you to Nairobi, just based on the high level view of your career. What do you think your variety of experiences and just living in different locations provides you as a co-founder? And part two of my question, how would you encourage founders who maybe just don't have the ability to travel or access different opportunities to broaden their horizons and world experience?
Yeah, I've been extremely fortunate to be able to travel around living in different countries. And I think that made me really enjoy getting to know people from different backgrounds, different culture. Like, you know, I love eating different cuisines from different places as well. And that's how I usually connect with those the people from there. And I think that has actually helped me when I try to connect better with the users as well, and then try to be in their shoes. What, from their perspective, what is it that they need? Of course, they come usually from a different background as me, but then I've tried to be in their shoes as much as possible. And I think that is something that you can still try to do, regardless of your travel experience or living abroad. But it's a skill that I'm benefiting a lot as a founder to really build a business that is creating tangible impact.
That's empathy in a nutshell. So can it be practiced, do you in your opinion? I know you have through your experience, but do you think you can actively practice it?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I think there's different ways to do this as well. I'm fortunate that it more or less comes naturally for me, and I enjoy doing it. So, but yeah, there's definitely ways to train yourself.
Okay, 100%. Yeah. We've got two more questions. I see we are running out of time. As you said, you co-founded Vinipay with Judy, also.
And Ian.
Yeah. How would you explain just your decision-making dynamic? And in your experience, what's the most important skill you leverage that helps you and your co-founders on a shared vision and a forward direction? I guess, to put it another way, how do you align and move forward? Because there's three different people, maybe three different opinions. How do you find a way of coming together on important decisions?
Yeah, definitely. As a team too, we have a really different skill set and different way of thinking as well. So it's really great when it comes to ideation, when we're brainstorming. And what really aligns us is basically the passion to solve this problem of delayed payment or even supporting these smallholder farmers. You know, sometimes we have these discussions that could be tough to understand each other, but then we always remember and remind ourselves that we're all doing this to solve this problem. So that passion of solving and helping these smallholder farmers is definitely what keeps us aligned while taking advantage of these different skill sets and different ways of thinking.
Sure. Yeah. So the mission overall holds you together. And as I find my own personal experience, having different skill sets, but the same mission overall holding you together like an umbrella. Not the best metaphor, but I'm going to go with it for now. It's a good start. Final question. Anything I should have asked you that I didn't?
Well, I actually wanted to ask you a question. Where to go for Cape Town while I'm here?
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, so I actually, in fact, wanted to ask you a question about what to do in Cape Town while I'm here.
Okay, there's many things. There's the V&A waterfront. If you like fishes of all varieties, I've heard the aquarium's a nice experience. Overall, the dining is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'd speak to some of the individuals. Some of the best restaurants in South Africa you can find here. If you like wine, you can travel up the highway to Stellenbosch, or you can go to Constantia around the mountain. Those are relatively close. There's the beach, though the sea, for my liking here, is a little bit cold. You probably have to travel more to the Indian Ocean side to do it. I'm also hiking. Please go up Table Mountain, fantastic view.
Hopefully I could squeeze in some activities there. It seems like it's going to be plenty for the four days that I'm here.
No, it's pretty endless, but the cuisine here is fantastic.
Yeah.
I could put that as a base, but Table Mountain, if you have time, if you like, do you like hiking or going?
Yeah, I love hiking.
Okay, then you can do Lion's Head as well. That's a very relatively low-grade walk, if I could put it that way. And just enjoy the view.
Okay,
we're looking on the harbour right now from where we are.
I wish everyone could see this view, but it's great.
It is pretty wonderful and fantastic. Yeah. So please just tell your friends also. I'm a South African. I try to encourage people to come as much as possible. Yeah. Please spend your foreign currency here. Do our part. And also, having previously lived here for a while, it is a pretty wonderful city. Also, from an ecosystem point of view, Cape Town is most certainly the place to be.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Definitely. So
it's easy sale.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Koya, I think we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for speaking to us on the Factory Founder podcast. If people want to know more about VunaPay, where can they reach out? Where should they go?
Well, we have all the social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. We also have a website. I'm available anywhere, basically. So
just come find me, please.
Come find me.
Come and get me, if you want to put it that way. Great. And with that, this is The Factory Building in Africa. Koya Matsuno has been the founder on today's show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.